Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Airbnb squatters have taken over a home in Palm Springs, and we tell you how a new app can help you find a public restroom. It's a wee little app.
You bet. Do you have a pet peeve when you travel? You know, out of control children, people who put the seat all the way back, seatmates who go to the bathroom six times in a two-hour flight. Well, at 3:15, we invite you to share your pet travel peeves on the air with us and perhaps win a $50 gift card for your efforts.
Not just any $50 gift card, I might add, a Ruth Chris $50 gift card. Yes. At 3:35, we introduce you to Robert George Allen, an entertainer turned ghost hunter in Las Vegas, and tell you how you can be a part of a ghost hunting adventure. If you have an interest in the paranormal, I met this guy last week, Tom. If you have an interest in the paranormal, you won't want to miss this fascinating live interview at 3:35.
Yeah, all that, plus Mark has returned from Las Vegas with 99 reasons why you shouldn't visit Sin City in the summertime.
It was 107 yesterday and raining in downtown Las Vegas. Don't touch that dial. The Travel Guys are coming your way.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. I want a Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, my friends. Another adventure of the Travel Guys is underway. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations to my left. I'm Tom Romano. So happy to be with you. Last day of the California State Fair. Spent the morning out there.
Today's the last day?
Today is it.
That explains the heavy traffic.
Yep.
On the road getting over to the studio today. I thought I was not going to get here in time.
Wanted to take a moment, thank all of our buddies and gals with Cal Fire. Ran into a bunch of them at a restaurant last night out in the Rancho area. And boy, they looked pretty well beat. We're heading back up again today. Good luck with that. How would something like this affect your... Taking people to, let's say, an outing. Have you ever run into
it? Well, yeah, we're battling fires right now up in the Pacific Northwest because it happens pretty regularly. You know, at this time of the year, we just had a group up in Glacier Park in Montana, and we've got gonna have a couple more groups up there roaming around in the Pacific Northwest over the next couple of weeks. And so it's a problem. It hasn't been too big of an issue here in Sacramento yet, but it's unfortunate. But what are you going to do? I mean, it's a natural occurrence, but it can be a real problem because obviously it impacts not only sightseeing and stuff, but a lot of people have issues when they get into areas where there's a lot of smoke. And if you have any kind of a respiratory situation, well, then it can be a problem. So, however, it is, you know, the planet is, I won't say the planet is warming up. The climate is changing on the planet. And regardless of how you think that it's happening, one of the things that we were told would happen 10 or 15 years ago when this started to occur was as it warmed up that wildfires and stuff would be more of an issue. And so there you go.
Well, coming up, we're going to be going to, do you believe in ghosts? Well, be listening to the program. We have some stuff that you might find interesting. Well, a lot of stuff in the news, let's not waste any more time just jabbering when Mark has... The update.
Everything that you would want to know. I was in before we go to the news. I was in Las Vegas the last few days.
Right.
And have you ever been to Las Vegas in the middle of the summer, dead summer like this?
No, I don't know if I have.
Don't go. It would be my suggestion to you. Las Vegas is just as crowded right now as it is when the weather is nice, and it's 105 to 110 degrees on the Strip. When it gets to 110 in Sacramento, nobody moves. You know, nobody does anything because we know it'll pass in a couple days. That's not the case in Las Vegas. And a great number of the people who are there visiting Vegas right now are from Europe. And so there's a lot of international flavor there, but it is just hot. It's just hot, 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 hot every day. It's 95 degrees at 10 o'clock at night. It's 95 degrees at 8 o'clock in the morning. I mean, there's no such thing as getting up early and avoiding the heat. And my question is, why do these people come to swelter? I mean, because that's what it is. And yesterday it rained down in Vegas, some of this monsoonal flow we're getting up here today. And so imagine it being well over 100 degrees and it raining, which isn't bad while it's raining. It's just after it gets done raining.
Well, I understand where you're coming from. But, you know, when I go to Vegas, The only time I spend any time outside is to go from one casino to the other.
You're looking for rain, but you're looking for it to rain money.
Right, right. I spend the majority of my time indoors, even though I know there are lots of, you know, sightseeing, golf, and other things to do.
But how would you, and good question, how would you golf? You couldn't possibly get in a round of golf. You can't, just walking down the street is kind of torturous.
Wonder how the guy with the big dig and how things go with him this time of year.
I would think the equipment would get mighty warm out there. I mean, he'd have to do. I didn't go over and talk to Ed for exactly that reason. It's like, why go talk to somebody with big heavy equipment when it's 110 outside? And you know, the good thing about it being 105 or 110 in Las Vegas, it's always 5 or 6 degrees warmer down in Laughlin.
Swell.
Ouch. Yeah. All right. Let's get to the travel news here and see what's going on. It's a serious item to start with. As you know, the U.S. Banned U.S. carriers from flying to Tel Aviv, Israel, last week. That ban has now been lifted, and Delta, United Airlines, and U.S. Airways said Thursday that they are going to start flying into Israel's biggest airport. Of course, if you remember, a misguided rocket landed near the airport on Tuesday, which caused all of this to come into focus. It is, Tom, a real concern. Tourism is a big part of the economy over there. They have had a terrific tourist season so far, but I have to tell you that my own company, Sports Leisure Vacations, had a trip on the books for November to go over to the Middle East, Israel and Jordan, and we canceled it last week.
Wow.
So, and that's the challenge that you have with trying to take people to see things in this part of the world. You promote a tour for a year or a year and a half, and, you know, the wrong thing happens at the wrong time, and then people don't want to go. And I certainly understand why they don't want to go, but then they have to understand why I can't offer them that product, because it's just so hard.
Right. In that kind of situation with Sports Leisure, did you get a lot of feedback from your travelers that were scheduled that says, you know, maybe we shouldn't go, or was this a decision made on your behalf?
Well, I made the decision, and probably I may have waited even a week longer than I should have. It comes down to, it's not whether or not can you go, it's do people still want to go?
Right.
Are they comfortable with going? Are they, you know, you're going to spend $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 to go halfway around the planet, and there are some people, there's a certain small percentage of people who will go no matter what. You know, they're adventurous,
right,
and they don't care. And there's a certain number of people that if anything happens, they immediately panic. And then you've got this big group in the middle that are kind of impacted by the media and, you know, what they're thinking and what they hear from people and stuff like that. But this whole situation just has made folks very nervous. The irony of it all is that by the time we get to November, things may be just fine.
True.
Over there.
Yeah.
And it may be no issue with going. But you get down to the point where you have to start making payments to ground operators over there to provide services for you. And you have to start paying airlines for tickets and stuff like that. You know, the whole system doesn't wait until the last minute for you to go. But anyways, if you're headed to the Middle East, I wish you a safe journey. And there are a lot of wonderful things to see and do in the Middle East. And so it's, and I hope that we will be going back there someday soon. Okay, if you're wondering, Tom, a lot of people have asked me in the last few months, they said, I go to buy an airline ticket, and it looks like that the ticket used to be you went out and bought a ticket 4 or 5 months in advance, you got a pretty good price, but doesn't seem to be that way anymore. Hidden in the reports of United Airlines quarterly report to Wall Street last week is the reason for this. The airline is taking fewer early bookings and holding seat inventory for later, higher-yielding bookings. This contributed to 0.75% of passenger revenue growth last quarter, and they expect it to be a full percentage point this quarter. So what's happening is you're going online and you're seeing an airfare that you're expecting to be $500 and it's $700. So you're not going to buy it. You're going to gamble that it's going to become $500. Remember, we tell people to wait about 50 days before a long distance trip to buy an airline seat. You may need to wait a little more now, because obviously the airlines are now looking at people who buy tickets early and trying to make suckers out of them.
Wow. It used to be the other way around. You try to get people to buy ahead. That way you know your inventory is gone, and then the prices go up. So is that the trend with all the airlines?
Well, it's with United, and they admitted it in their report to their stockholders. So it's entirely possible, I would say, that if it isn't happening all over, if it's working for them, it's going to be happening all over soon. So if you go in and you see an airfare, but of course the challenge is, what they're doing is they're driving those prices. They're posting those prices higher. You're not buying it, hoping that price will come down. It never comes down. In the summertime, that's what happened. Now, in the fall, you could tell that air travel is a little softer. In fact, I will tell folks that there is a great airfare sale going on right now, every day but Friday and Sunday, and it's up through the 17th of December. You can fly any day but Friday or Sunday. And American, Delta, and Southwest are all doing it, and someone told me this morning that United is matching. So it goes through the 31st of July. So if you're thinking about going somewhere this fall and you're not traveling on Friday or Sunday, this is the time to buy the ticket.
Perfect.
Now. But
good information.
And really and truly, airfares change 4 or 5 times a day. So you just, if you see a fare that's not, and there are lots of webs, apps that you can get that will alert you if a fare changes or it hits the target price that you want or something like that. So that's something certainly for us old guys to consider at this point in time.
Love it.
Couple of quick tips here. Best Western has a point bonus for every stay until the end of September. United has a 2,000-mile bonus for shopping online in case you're into that sort of stuff. You can win from Radisson free hotel rooms for life.
Wow.
That sounds like a pretty good deal. You can win free, let's see, it's the grand prize is 5 free Radisson hotel room nights per year for up to 58 years. You will also receive a check for $214 a year to offset the tax liability associated with the prize.
And what's the contest? Where can I find out about
Radisson
this?
For Life sweepstakes. And if I'd have been smart, I would have put this on travelguysradio.com, but I didn't. So go Google Radisson for Life sweepstakes, and I'm sure that you will find it. We also mentioned in the headlines about finding, you ever out and you're trying to find a place to tinkle?
Yes.
You can't find one?
No.
You know, there's a porta potty down there, but there's 20 people in line, and porta potties in the summertime are not all that pleasant.
So what do you have?
You can go on your phone. I have put this on my phone. Here, let me show you this.
Okay.
You can get your own Wii app.
Is that what it's called? Wii app?
It is, and it's so that you can find the places that where you can Wii. Here, it's where to Wii. See, look at right there. See there? Where to Wii? Now, if you click on that.
Okay, I'm clicking on it now.
And it's going to pull up. Let me come over there.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so see, it's where to Wii. See, with all of the little signs so there. And you click on that.
There's a picture
that.
Of a guy and a gal. Okay.
Now, see, now here we are at the studio, and it tells us where all of the... Now, these are restrooms that are in places that are open to the public, but, you know, otherwise public restrooms.
What is the difference between the gray ones and the green ones,
The gray ones are in buildings, and the green one is like a public restroom that you can access all the time.
I see. Well, fascinating.
So
look
if you put that on your phone, why then you'll always know where to tinkle.
Since we're right across from the state fair, there's a whole bunch of them over there.
And finally, the biggest news story of the week. We've talked about Airbnb, the sharing economy, Uber and Lyft and all the ride shares. Well, it appears as though these two gentlemen rented a house in Palm Springs. They told the lady they wanted to stay there for 44 days. And so starting in late May until just a couple weeks ago. And so they paid her for 30 days in advance and moved in. And when 30 days ended, they didn't leave.
Because there is a law that states that if you stay for 30 days or more...
In the state of California, you are considered to be a tenant.
There you go. Now, this wasn't in California.
No, this was in California.
Oh, it was.
This happened down in Palm Springs.
Palm Springs.
And as far as I can tell, as of this morning, it appears as though these people have not left this lady's home yet. And you said to me, well, why don't they just turn off the power?
Turn the water off.
Yeah.
Turn the power off.
Except you can't do that. That's not legal in the state of California. So so just beware, folks. If you give over your home to some folks, why they may or may not leave, you can probably find more information on that and lots of the things that we talked about in the travel news by going to travelguysradio.com.
Okay, you're listening to the Travel Guys. Do you have a pet peeve when you travel? You know, I don't know about you, but I hate the armrest hogs.
Oh.
You know, can you share? If you have a pet peeve and you'd like to maybe win yourself a $50 gift card to Ruth Chris, be listening. We'll give you the numbers to call in. And
right now.
Okay.
921-1530, 800-834-1530. If you have a pet travel peeve, it could be on an airplane, in a hotel, in a restaurant, I don't care where it is, if it involves travel. And you have a pet peeve, we'll take some calls after the break. We'll share our pet peeves. And the two best pet peeves that we get will win $50 Ruth Chris gift cards.
There you go. We'll be back. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hello. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, and by the way, everything that you hear on the radio, you can find it, most of it anyway, at TravelGuysRadio.com. We post, pictures and information about the subjects that we talk about. Also, you can go back and listen to any great Travel Guys radio show a second time, or if you happen to miss a weekend, on our website, too. So
if you're really a glutton for punishment, you can listen to it a third time. All right, we're taking pet travel peeves here on the Travel Guys this afternoon for a little while. If you've got a pet peeve that gets to you while you're traveling, 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. We've got two Ruth Chris $50 gift cards to give away. We'll take some calls now and some more after the news. A break at the bottom of the hour. And the two people who have the best pet peeves, as judged by our select panel here, will win the $50 gift cards at the end of the program.
All right. Do I get in on that? I have some peeves.
No, you don't get in on that. And right now, we don't even want to know your peeves because we have people on the phone to talk to.
Okay.
And then we'll talk to your peeves.
Let's get
Marion, to it. Marion, Sacramento. How you doing, Mary? Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi.
Hi. What's your pet peeve, Mary?
Okay. This really bothers me. I think it's unjust. The resort fees that are billed to your room, when you are not going to be using them, you don't have the opportunity to opt out. And you cannot compare hotel costs between one chain and another if they're not up front. I don't mind if they're up front in the total thing when you're booking it, that, you know, that's what you're going to pay for that hotel.
Yeah, something we've talked about more than once, that hotels that have that you get there and it's kind of in the fine print and you don't really notice it, and when you go to check out and you find out that the $20 a night resort fee, I was just in Vegas, it's rampant down there. And the $20 resort fee covers your newspaper, your phone calls, which of course nobody uses a hotel phone hardly at all anymore, or reads a newspaper. The use of the tennis courts, the ukulele class on Thursday afternoons, and right, Mary?
That's correct, and it's not just because it's an add-on fee that you're not going to partake in.
Yep, I could not agree with you more.
Raises my blood pressure.
All right. Well, you know, that's a good one, Mary. You got a lot of company on that one. Okay, thank you. Let's move to Jim in Rancho. Jim, welcome to the program. You're on with the Travel Guys.
How are you?
All right, buddy. What are you peeved about?
Biggest pet peeve are those that are right next to you and they have to talk on the speaker's end of their cell phones. I don't want to hear their conversations.
Now, are you saying that they actually have the speaker on so that you can hear the other person talking?
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
And how rude can you possibly be? I mean, in this day of headphones and stuff like that, and, you know, I hate to say this, but it's usually someone older who's doing that because the kids have all got their headsets, and am I not right, Jim?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Why are they thinking we want to hear their conversation, Jim?
You know, that's the part that gets me the most. Why?
All right. Thanks for the call. Hey. Don calling from, I think he's calling from his airplane. Yeah. Don, welcome. You're on the Travel Guys. Hello. Hello there.
Hi there. My pet peeve is you get on an airplane and you get in the air and a person in front of you reclines your seat, they're back into your chest.
Oh boy,
nowadays though, they're now fixing, like I flew on Southwest today, the seat only reclines about 1.75 inches.
I'm not worried, it's back in my chest.
Yeah, no. So what do you do about that, Don, when the guy puts the seat back?
If you're in the back of the plane, there's no place for you to move back.
Oh, okay. Particularly if you got that last seat that doesn't recline, you are stuck.
Right.
Yeah, or you,
and,
yeah, if you're
and I've, you know, I've, you know, pat the guy in the head and say, hey, you know, you're in my chest. And some were just, you know, well, tough, you know, and just one of my pet peeves.
A pet peeve, I think, for many, many people. Don, thanks for your call and thanks for being a listener. Let's
You're
thank you, Don. And let's see if we can get Phil in Roseville. Phil?
Yes, I'm concerned about the weight limit that you're allowed to take on the plane. You're allowed to take 50 pounds.
Okay.
And however, there's no restriction on the size of the person who sits next to you. I think there should be a weight limit of maybe 250 pounds, where if you weigh 150 pounds, you're allowed to take 100 pounds. If you weigh 200 pounds, you're allowed to take 50 pounds. If you weigh 250 pounds or more, you buy an extra seat.
So you're talking about combined weight of yourself and your... I don't think I've ever heard, Tom, someone espouse this before, but it kind of sort of makes sense.
It does.
Because this is how much weight you're putting on the airplane,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to... So if you're a little skinny guy with a little light bag, that you shouldn't pay as much as the big guy with a heavy bag.
Your limit should be a little bit higher because, you know, it should be a combined weight. A guy that weighs 200 pounds is allowed 50. A guy who's allowed 150 pounds is allowed 100. If you weigh 250 pounds and you're going to spread onto the next seat, you buy two seats.
Yeah, that's that works, Phil. Thanks. Thanks for the call. We got to go to the news.
Yeah, the thing Phil's going to be up against is, you know, that becomes, you know, people are being picked out of the bunch because of their whatever.
Because of their size.
Yeah. And, you know, that's...
But it's an interesting thought that your total combined weight would be somehow how you would pay for your ticket or extra baggage charges or something like that. We have a whole bunch of people on the telephone, Lon, Robert, D, Vicky, and Patrick. We're going to go to the news here with Scott for just a minute, and then we'll come back and take some more of your pet peeves and give away a couple of Ruth Chris gift cards. We are the Travel Guys. This is KFBK.
We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, every Sunday at 3 o'clock. We're right in the middle of people's pet peeves. You know, Mark, I think people are enjoying telling us, getting it off of their chest, more than they are interested in winning a $50 gift card.
They might be. I haven't seen the telephone lines light up this much for quite a while. And we have five people on hold right now and a guest that we have to get to. So I will ask you, if you have a pet peeve, to hang on to it. We'll do this again sometime because obviously lots of folks have things to contribute. Vicky is in Palo Alto, a long ways away. Vicky, are you listening to us on the radio, in a car, or...?
I'm on my cell phone.
Ah, okay. On iHeartRadio?
Listening over my mobile app.
Oh, cool. You're listening to iHeartRadio then.
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for joining us.
So, Vicky, what's your pet peeve?
So my pet peeve is when people get the window seat, they go to all that trouble to get the window seat, and then they get this control issue where they slam the window shade down and nobody else can see out.
Yeah, why do you want the window seat? So you can look out, and now we shut the window.
Or Vicky, here's the other one. They tell everybody, you know, you're flying in the middle of the day, and there's a movie on, and they say, okay, if everybody will pull their window shade down, it'll be a lot easier to see the movie. And so one guy doesn't pull the window shade down. But he's watching the movie. But he doesn't pull the shade down, even though it would make it easier for everybody in the whole cabin to see it if he just would. That's just kind of the opposite of what you're talking about.
Have you ever had the opportunity, Vicky, to make a comment to the window shade puller downer person?
Oh, absolutely.
What is your tact?
What I usually tell them, I'm very claustrophobic, and if you don't pull that down, if you don't pull it up, I'm going to start screaming.
Ooh, that'll probably get it done.
That's good. Vicky, thank you for being a listener on the iHeartRadio app and for calling in on the Travel Guys. Patrick is in Mendocino. Hi, Patrick.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, buddy. Are you on the radio or are you on the app also?
No, I'm on the radio. I'm driving north on I-5. I'm from Mendocino. We're headed up to Lassen National Park.
Oh, cool.
He's a traveler.
He's a traveler,
listening
yeah.
to the Travel Guys.
Tell us about your pet peeve, Patrick.
Exactly. And I'm a canine handler for the state, and we're just at a rest stop. And since I'm traveling, I had to tell you, because I just watched it happen, my pet peeve is when people who are traveling with their dogs walk out onto the asphalt at the rest stop, and they sit and they pause and they admire the scenery, and the poor dog's doing a little dance on the
burning his feet,
and they're completely oblivious to the poor dog suffering there.
Wow, Patrick, good for you. My wife will yell at people that have, I don't know, we might be at the fair or whatever, and she'll get on their case for, aren't you concerned that, you know, that's not, that dog, his feet are hot, that's burning him. And exactly. Yeah, I don't blame you. Good pet peeve, Patrick. Do you ever go over there and let them know?
Oh, absolutely. My wife punches me all the time, but I just said, you know, take your shoes off. If it's If it's cool enough for you, then it's cool enough for the dog. But it's 105 out.
Yeah, and maybe, of course, maybe the dog is waiting to go wee-wee also. You know, maybe the dog wants you to get on with the program and stop with it. Thank you. Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate it. Drive safely on I-5. Let's get a couple more here quickly. Lon is in Carmichael. Hi, Lon.
Hey there, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, what I have trouble with is during the traveling, when I get to a hotel and you turn on the shower and it just dribbles out.
Tom, Lon and I share a pet peeve here.
I knew you'd go for this one.
In the hotel.
No water pressure.
It does not work. Everything else is high pressure, but the shower is nothing.
Yeah, so
I take a crescent wrench and I take out that little water restrictor, put the head back on, and then when I leave the hotel, I'll take the head off and put the water restrictor back in.
So are you telling me, Lon, you travel with a crescent wrench?
I certainly do.
Yeah.
And a roll of Teflon tape to reseal the thread.
Oh, you gotta love that. Thanks, Lon. I love that. Let's take one more. We're the travel guys. We're taking your pet peeves on the radio, and in just a moment here, we are going to talk to a ghost hunter from Las Vegas, Nevada. So don't go away for that. One more pet peeve here, D in Sacramento. What do you got, D?
My pet peeve is when I want to get on a relaxing flight and there's a bunch of rowdy drunks and they take over the disrespecting the flight attendants and all of those all around them. You don't want to go back and kill them.
Well, yeah, that would
this happened to you recently, D?
It's happened a couple of times.
And so what do you do when you get into a situation like that? Do you just go to sleep or do you fight back?
And no, I don't usually get involved. I apologize to the flight attendants for the disrespect of them, you know, and say, gee, I'm sorry. I wish there was something I could do. I wish they'd put a limit on the drinks they could drink on the flight because they've already gotten on. Just completely bombed.
people who get on an airplane, yep, a train, another public transportation, public conveyance, and they with no consideration whatsoever for the people around them.
Well, you know, I do believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, if an airline feels that somebody's too intoxicated to fly safely, if you will, they can refuse to let them on the plane.
Yeah, they absolutely can. They can also refuse to serve them anymore. So anyways, thank you all for sharing your pet peeves.
Great stuff.
Great stuff. We will do this again sometime. We have two $50 Ruth Chris gift cards. We'll announce the winners before we leave you at 4 o'clock. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to have a long segment with Robert George Allen. Robert was an entertainer in Las Vegas in his first career, but his second career is as a ghost hunter. I met Robert this last week in Southern Nevada, and I think you are going to be fascinated to meet him yourself when we come back in just a couple minutes here on The Travel Guys.
Welcome, friends. We are The Travel Guys every Sunday at 3 o'clock. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
We have been like behind the whole hour here.
Yeah, I know. We got so much good stuff.
We have. Do you see this here? Before we introduce our guest, this is the new Sports Leisure Traveler.
That's 2014, right. 36th Annual Vacation and Tour Preview Day.
If you are one of our travelers, you will get this in the mail. They went into the mail on Saturday. And if you get yours online, you'll get a notification of the day that the trips go live online next week, Tuesday or Wednesday. You'll get a notification in your email. But anyway, our annual tour preview day is coming up in September, and that's where we roll out our catalog and have a bunch of fun. And it's going to be we've been at the Marriott Hotel for about 10 years, but mm-hmm. we're going to be over here right next. I can look out and see the DoubleTree
right there. You
see where our event will be.
Absolutely.
From right here. So if you're a Sports Leisure Traveler, you'll be getting that in the mail. Our lucky Sports Leisure Traveler this week is Sharon Beck. Sharon, you have won a $50 Sports Leisure travel gift card, and if you call our office Monday or Tuesday because you're listening to the program or somebody told you they heard your name on the radio, we'll double that to $100 for you. Let's go to our guest on the phone who has been patiently waiting for us here while we talked about pet peeves, and we're going to shift gears here and talk about ghosts in Nevada. And we Oh, last week, I was down in southern Nevada and had the opportunity to meet Robert George Allen. We met out at a place called Good Springs, Nevada, and I'm going to ask Robert to tell you a little bit about it. Robert, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much for your patience, sir, and for hanging on and listening to all of our...
Can I get my pet peeve?
Absolutely.
Go for it, Robert.
You get on an airplane going from Phoenix to Las Vegas.
Okay.
And they tell you that your seat cushion can be used as a flotation device. Well, I said, where are we going to land? In a well?
Robert, you used to be an entertainer in Vegas, perhaps. Were you a comedian?
I was the comedian for the Follies Bergère for many years and also for Splash and 28 major Las Vegas production shows back when we had live comedians in all the shows.
So, Robert, how does a comedian become a ghost hunter?
My question.
Well, I've been a ghost hunter since I was a kid because I started seeing ghosts at a young age. So it was always something I did. I just never did it as a profession.
You started, now, Robert, you didn't bring this up the other day when we were talking. You started seeing ghosts at a young age.
Yeah, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my cousin lived down the street from me. I came from an Italian family, and so Italian families all live on the same block, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd go over to his house for the weekend, and he had a bedroom with two twin beds, and I would spend the weekend there. And this elderly gentleman with white hair would sit on the end of the bed and talk to me. Well, I'd go home and tell my mom that, and she'd say, no, you must have been dreaming because, you know, there's your cousin and his sister and your aunt and uncle, and they were in their 30s at that time. So she says, there's nobody like that there. Well, a couple more times I came back and said, I talked to this man, and she said, what does he say to you? Well, when I told her, she said, well, that's impossible. That's your Uncle Tony. He died 5 years before you were born. And coincidentally, that used to be his bedroom before my aunt, his sister, took over the apartment. So it started at a young age, and I was able to see him, and he told me things. And I realized at that point, you know, I could see them. And by the time I was 14, I'd seen several others. So I started going to the local library and buying all these, taking out books on paranormal investigation and ghosts, and became quite interested in it. And then in 1964, I went on the road to be a musician, and I played with many of the Dick Clark-type shows, Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis and people like that. But wherever we would go, first thing I'd do is hit the Chamber of Commerce and say, do you have any haunted houses, places that are haunted? And, of course, I'd go off with my dowsing rods, and the guys in the band started calling me spooky. They said, you know, we're looking for girls, he's looking for ghosts. So.
That's great, Al.
So it was always a hobby, you know, and yeah, it's something I found interesting. So when I stopped performing in 2004, I decided to start the Haunted Vegas Tour, which is a tour that takes you to various haunted locations in Las Vegas, and we actually go ghost hunting and give you the equipment and let you try to see if you can communicate.
And so fast forward to Good Springs, Nevada, which is where I met you this week. It's for folks who don't know their Nevada geography, if you were on I-15 and you were going into Las Vegas out of Los Angeles, the last town that you would hit before you got to Vegas would be the town of Jean. And if you took a right turn off there and went, about 10 miles north, you'd get to Good Springs.
It's 6 miles, yes, right off the freeway. And the town of Jean was named after Jean Fale, whose husband and her husband George, they founded Good Springs. So that's how the town of Jean became Jean.
And we spent some time in the Pioneer Saloon. And just to tell folks, Good Springs is what I would call an alive ghost town. It was a town previously. It was a mining town. It had a purpose. It had a time and a purpose. That time and purpose has kind of gone by it. There are still people living in Good Springs, sprinkled amongst the ghosts, if you will.
Yeah, there's about 150 houses built up on the hills. They don't allow them to build in Good Springs because it's protected by the Historical Society. The Pioneer Saloon just celebrated its 100th year in business. It's the only saloon in Nevada that's 100 years old and never closed its doors. And it is occupied by at least 10 or 12 ghosts that we know of. And the whole town has, you know, old mining shacks, an old schoolhouse, an old assay office, the cemetery. So we take people out there nightly about right at sundown. We give them all the ghost equipment, and our guide will take them around. And just about every night they communicate and get a lot of activity in that town.
Robert, I have to ask you, you've mentioned it more than once here. Tell our listeners, what is ghost hunting equipment?
Well, we have things like dowsing rods, which are basically bent metal rods that I used for many years. They use them to find water also.
Right, yeah, that looks like a, you know, a V-shaped, like a wishbone.
Yeah, like an L, and it's got a little sleeve so that it can move around. Yeah. And that's what we used back when I started because we didn't have electronic equipment, of course.
So is those pointed ghosts, do they?
Well, what happens is if you concentrate and say, if there's a spirit, please move the rod, sometimes they'll just start spinning like crazy and people have picked up something.
Okay. Now, Robert, you mentioned a spirit box when I was talking to you, and and the fact that this is one of the ways that communications come through the paranormal, and talk a little bit about that.
Okay, well, as I was saying, we have what's called EMF meters, which will start blinking red if there's a spiritual energy, and another thing called the spirit box or the ghost box, they call it.
And why will it, let me interrupt you again, why will it blink red if there's spirit energy? How will it know?
Spirits put out electromagnetic frequency, and that's what these things are. They're electromagnetic frequency readers. And if you're walking around in a cemetery and they start blinking like wild, the chances are you've picked up something.
So, Robert, this is science, yes?
Well, yeah, it is now. They're getting more and more into it. It's getting more technical as the years go by. Now, the spirit box is actually a radio transceiver, and it changes stations every second. So it kind of makes a weird sound like, you know, like that. And you can talk to it and say, are there any spirits here? And, of course, sometimes you get nothing. Other times you'll say, how many spirits are here? And I've had nice we'll go, three. And everybody at the table heard it say three. The other interesting thing is there's a ghost of a gambler who was murdered in 1915 in the Pioneer Saloon for cheating at cards. And his name was Paul Koski. Now, the table that he was killed at is still in the saloon, and if you sit at that table with the spirit box and you say, who's here, many nights, not every night, but many nights, we'll get Koski. And it's clear as a bell. People hear it. I mean, it's not something we're doing to it. It just does it. So
we're talking with Robert George Allen, who is our guest here. Robert is the man who operates the Haunted Vegas Tour. We're talking about paranormal adventures in Southern Nevada. There are lots of haunted places in Nevada, lots of great ghost towns. Whether you believe in ghosts or not, I'm going to suggest to you that once you've talked to Robert and other folks in his field, why you may have to go back and reassess your beliefs a little bit. Robert, you've been doing this for how long? You said, obviously, you've had an interest in ghosts since you were a kid, but how long have you been in your second career?
Well, the Haunted Vegas Tour started 9.5 years ago, and Good Springs Ghost Hunt, which is our newer one, that started 3 years ago. So we've been doing them a long time.
And we should tell folks that if you go to travelguysradio.com, we have a link to Robert's website on there, and or you can just go to Good Springs Ghost Hunt .com, and you can find him there. So folks in Las Vegas can tour with you by signing up for a trip in town. How do folks partake in the Good Springs Ghost Hunt if they're not on a sports leisure vacations tour?
Okay, well, if they go to the GoodSpringsGhostHunt.com, we have an online, you can buy them right there, you know, using your credit card, and it comes up with a calendar so you can decide what dates you want. Or you can call our 800 number, and our Lady Mary will take care of you, get you set up with your tickets, and email them to you, however you want to do it.
Now, Tom, I got to tell you that Robert and I spent quite a bit of time with his assistant, Becky, and we sat and talked in the Pioneer Saloon, and I've always been kind of an open-minded person when it comes to the paranormal and the supernatural and stuff. It's kind of like it seems a little goofy to me, but you know, I wouldn't completely discount the possibility of all of this. And I'm just telling you that once you sit and you listen to Robert, it's all pretty logical, and it's all based on some form of science, which will tend to move that needle. Wherever you are in terms of a believer or a non-believer, the chances of that needle being in the same place once you get done on one of Robert's tours or in a conversation with him, it's likely that the needle's going to be in a different place.
Well, I'm be very excited just for the opportunity to play with ghost hunting equipment. I find that fascinating.
Yeah, I can tell that you're excited about that. Robert, I'm going to take a moment here and tell folks that the reason that I was in Southern Nevada and talking to you is because Sports Sports Leisure Vacations, my company, is working on a Nevada ghost towns tour, and you are going to be a part of that, and the Pioneer Saloon out at Good Springs and stuff. So it will be announced in our catalog in a couple of months, so I can't be accused of selling it because it doesn't exist quite yet, but
like
it ghosts. It will soon. It was fascinating, Robert, to listen to you and to the level of knowledge that you have about the ghost towns and the people who inhabit them, living or not, is very extensive. And frankly, I've not heard too many people who have quite the expertise on the subject. It obviously is something that you have a great deal of passion about.
I am very passionate about it, and we're looking forward to having you out there. We're excited about having you guys come down, and I know you'll have a great time.
Well, go ahead, Tom.
Thanks, Robert. Yeah, this is fascinating. You're a really interesting guy. I think you've taken the right course in life, and I wish you best of luck. And I know, Mark, your travelers are just going to have a ball.
Oh, I think so. I think that, the great thing about Robert, Tom, is that he's just a regular guy, and you just go and you can talk to him and stuff like that, and it's like, well, gee, and whatever I thought before, I'm not sure if I still think that now.
Were you concerned when we got ready to meet Robert for the first time that he was not going to be a regular guy?
Well, I don't know. I've never been a ghost hunter before, so I was. It was tremendously fascinating. Robert, thank you for your time today and for your patience. I look forward to doing some true ghost hunting with you and to having you back as a guest on the program.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate being here.
Thanks, Robert, and thanks for sharing your pet peeve as well.
Robert George Allen of Haunted Vegas Tours. And if you're going to Las Vegas at any time of the year, something that you can be a part of. So, and that is, we're getting, the clock is running out on us here, Tom.
It is. Let's see, next Sunday, Mark will be just returning from, we're going to be doing the Magic Bus in San Francisco on Saturday, and we'll get some special recordings of that particular event. I won't be here in the studio. Maybe
but I will
in.
Be, Mark and will be we'll here. Both be on the Magic Bus on Saturday. We should tell folks that our two winners of the Ruth Chris gift cards for today are Vicky and Robert. Our panel of judges decided that Vicky from Palo Alto, the lady with the window shade peeve, and Robert, who carries around the tools to adjust the shower, a man after my own heart. So Vicky and Robert, we have your phone numbers, and we will contact you with your prizes. We are the Travel Guys. We will see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock. The news is next.